morning. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. At the Last Supper, Jesus teaches his disciples that he is going away and describes how they are to carry on once he's gone. Just prior to our gospel passage, Jesus says, "In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." Meaning specifically, after Jesus dies and is resurrected, that prompts one of his disciples to ask, "Lord, how is it that you reveal yourself to us and not to the world?" Now, and meaning specifically, after Jesus dies and is resurrected, why will he reveal himself only to his disciples? Wouldn't it be better to reveal himself to the whole world? And that's where our passage begins today. Just like the disciples, we too can separate ourselves from the world. You know, at times we could say we want the whole world to know that, for example, we love our significant other. And at other times, when we want to keep others from knowing some intimate or embarrassing secret, we say that we don't want the whole world to know. When Jesus speaks about the world in our passage today, it is that world that seems unfriendly, suspicious, and confrontational. You see, God both rejects sin and wickedness and loves the world and the people in it despite that wickedness. Jesus comes as the light of the world so that people may see the light of life. But many will prefer or choose darkness. And Jesus begins his response to the disciple by saying, "Those who love me will keep my word, and those who do not love me do not keep my word." These are really two sides of the same coin. Jesus isn't excluding anyone because he is the light of the world. John 3, verse 17 says, "God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." And Jesus has made himself known in the world by the signs he's done, which show that he is the Son of the Father that sent him. Jesus hasn't come to judge the world, he's come to save it. You know, God didn't send a lowly servant or a slave. He didn't leave a note or send a text. He loved the world so much that he came in the person of his only Son, the Word made flesh. Yet there are those who are of this world and hide from the light. John 3, verses 19 through 21 says, "And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light, and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds are done in God." Those who have loved the darkness have blinded themselves to the truth. They have rejected Jesus and refused to keep his commandments. So when Jesus returns, he will not reveal himself in all his glory to them. The glory is the Father's only Son, and that will be their judgment. There's a critical distinction between those who are followers of Jesus and those who are of the world. Worldly in this context does not mean sophisticated. It means lost. When people choose the darkness, in the end they are confronted not by Jesus, but by the very words that they have heard and chosen not to believe. The words themselves become judges who condemn those who do not believe. People have doubted if the Gospel of John is telling the truth. They've doubted if Jesus is the representative of the living God. What if hearing Jesus' words and not believing them meant having the words return at the end of days to judge the unbelievers? And Jesus promises that after he's gone, the Father will send the Holy Spirit in his name. The Holy Spirit will help the disciples and us today by teaching them and us everything that they and we need to know, and reminding the faithful of what Jesus has said and what he did when he was with the disciples. Verses 16 and 17 of John 14 describe the Holy Spirit as another advocate that will be with us forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be among you. The Holy Spirit accompanies the church as it remembers. The Spirit guides the disciples and the church today as we think back over what we have experienced of Jesus, and as we seek to let our love show in the ways that we relate to others. The Spirit helps the disciples understand Jesus and his word. The Spirit helps us to love Jesus by keeping his word in the world we live in. Jesus is not abandoning his followers like some earthly orphans as he returns to the Father. He offers them his peace. In Greek, the word used here in John is irene, and it means inner peace, quietness, rest. This peace is not some temporary, some transitory thing that the world offers. It isn't some platitudes, some soft words of farewell. When Jesus says the peace he offers is his own, he says he gives it not as the world gives. He will offer it again when he appears to the disciples after the resurrection. The peace gives the disciples both comfort for troubled hearts and courage in the midst of fear. From this point on, Jesus embodies the peace he offers as he endures his arrest, trial, crucifixion, and resurrection. This is not a passive peace. It is active. It's reassuring. It's energizing. When Jesus returns to his disciples after the resurrection, he repeatedly greets them with the phrase, "Peace be with you." For example, when Jesus confronts doubting Thomas, the line reads, "Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.'" In another context, this could be interpreted as nothing more than a routine greeting. Here, however, the repetition is emphatic. It signals the fulfillment of what Jesus promises in our gospel reading today, that despite tribulation and turmoil, Jesus will remain present with them. His presence gives the disciples peace. The Spirit and peace will enable the disciples and later the church as they live into discipleship and mission. It is the presence of this peace given to us by God through Jesus that enables the disciples and us to live lives of faithfulness. That reassurance comes in verse 28. "You have heard me say that I am going away and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I." Jesus boldly proclaims that he is not just going away from them, he's going to the Father. And those who know him, who have walked the roads and have been on this journey with him, know that that is what he was meant to do. After this discourse, Jesus intended that the disciples would always feel his peace and presence through the Spirit, in the continuing teaching to come, and in the connectedness of the community of believers. That, folks, is the very definition of the body of Christ, that we are part of a greater whole, guided by the Holy Spirit and comforted by the peace of Christ. Amen.